Smokinol is a unique cannabis extract that feels more like smoking compared to traditional edibles. That's because it's actually extracted from cannabis smoke. Smokinol can be incorporated into a variety of formulations, including edibles, tinctures, and capsules. And smokinol extraction is fast, easy, and requires very little upfront investment. If you work at a dispensary or are involved in cannabis processing and are interested in incorporating smokinol formulations for your products, contact the link below or send us a message on Instagram. Smokinol, we smoked it for you.
Before we get started, we have some exciting news to share. Last week, we were granted our patent for our extraction method, and to celebrate this, we're offering a special discounted variety pack of all of our Profound Naturals products. So thanks, everyone. Welcome to a special extra credit of Smoke and Science, the podcast where we break down the science of cannabis and other natural products so that everyone can understand it. I'm Miyabi.
I'm Riley.
And I'm Andy. On the last episode of Smoke and Science, we had Dr. Jehan Marcoux as a guest, and we talked about the mechanism of how CBD works in the body.
This is important information, but we also need to talk about practical applications of using CBD. What are some of the reasons that people use these products?
Our team takes CBD products daily, and there's tons of information on the internet about it, and we want to talk about the ways that we've used it and some of the research that's been done so far. So let's do it.
Welcome to Smoke and Science, the podcast where the deeper we go, we realize the less we know.
So, the difference between CBD, THC, and converted cannabinoids. This is something we talk about all the time in here, but generally speaking, for all the people out there that are probably more like me without like an intense understanding of chemistry and whatnot, CBD isn't going to make you feel high, but it is going to help you with some, you know, pain and inflammation and things like that. It's also an ingredient in an FDA-regulated drug. It's federally legal in 50 states. THC is that tricky cannabinoid that's going to make you feel high, and that there's pretty strict rules about when it comes to the differences between hemp and hemp and cannabis. And converted cannabinoids are happening all the time during processing and decarboxylation and smoking.
And there's also the minor and rare compounds that are made in the plant, but they get a lot less attention because they're in such smaller quantities. It's more difficult to research them. They're less abundant, so they're less used. So people, there's just less interest in the minor compounds. But in theory, you could have a compound that's only present in like 0.1% of that flower matter, and it could be so active that it could have profound effects on your body, even though it's at a very small abundance.
Right, like all of these different molecules, they are just different shapes. And then because they are shaped differently, they interact with the receptors and the other targets in our body, and that is the difference in the effects. So what Andy was saying, how CBD doesn't make you high, THC does make you high. That difference is the difference in the shape of the molecule, and then how that shape goes on to interact with different targets inside our bodies to cause these different effects. And I agree that there could be really, really small amounts of rare cannabinoids, or I mean, we don't even know if some of these compounds are cannabinoids because a lot of them have not been researched at all. We just assume that they are based on the shape, that they have a very, very similar shape. But many of the compounds in the plant and many of the compounds that are in a lot of the products that all of us have been using and that humans have been using medically for thousands and thousands of years haven't really been well documented. And it's very possible that these combinations contribute to things like strain specificity and like unique therapeutic effects of certain, whether it's strains or whether it's like a method, like how you create an edible or how you create a product.
To Andy's point about CBD being legal in all 50 states versus THC products being highly regulated, that's due to the 2018 Farm Bill, which allowed people to start growing hemp, which is a cannabis variety that produces little to no THC and the majority CBD or CBG, but almost no THC. And that's why we can cultivate those plants and we can sell those products across the United States legally. And just because it's not getting you high doesn't mean it's not active in your body. Arguably, CBD might be more active than THC in your body because it interacts with more receptors.
It's definitely still psychoactive too. Even though it doesn't get you high, that doesn't mean that it's not interacting with things in your brain and changing your brain chemistry. And there's been a good number of research papers that have been done on CBD for mental health effects, like specifically like anti-anxiety, anti-depression, or antipsychotic effects, along with epilepsy and seizures, which is what the prescription medication is for. But the out of the clinical studies and the animal model studies for CBD for the other mental health effects, it's clear that it does have an effect. At least that's my opinion when I read these studies. I think it's something like 70%. Between 70 and 80% of the studies, in depending on what meta-analysis, which is what it's called when a group of researchers will then go look at all the research that's been done over, say, the past like 20 years, and they do what's called a meta-analysis, which means they look at all that research and then analyze the research that was done against each other. And there's been a few, at least, probably way more recently, even like coming out this year, next year, continued, of meta-analyses on CBD and the effects of CBD. And it does hit many targets, and it is complicated to piece apart what exact effect is coming from which one of these targets. But the important thing is that it does have an effect. And that's something that, you know, a lot of times I hear people say like, oh, CBD didn't work. And a lot of times that might have to do with either the product or it might have to do with the dosage that you used. And for some people, it is feasible that you would need really, really high doses or combined rare cannabinoids with CBD to have a more significant effect.
When I hear people talk about psychoactive effects and we talk about CBD versus THC, it's clear to me what THC is doing when I introduce that into my body. There is like a noticeable effect. You feel different. Your perception gets a little different. Your thought process and a lot of things change, and it's obvious. When CBD kicks in, if you're having some sort of like anxiety attack, or you're extremely stressed out, or you know something bad happened in your life, and you know you're like you need to take it down a notch. A lot of times, if you take enough of it, right, if you take a proper dose, you do notice that you feel less anxious or less stressed out or less pissed off or whatever it is. And in some ways, I think that is kind of like a psychoactive effect. It's not introducing, you know, a noticeable, like, inebriation or something like that, but it absolutely does take you from, you know, a 10 out of 10 from your stress or anxious, you know, anxious thoughts to lesser than that. And that's substantial. So I think that's an exciting and a promising thing about CBD specifically.
And I like that you brought up dose, because I think that's a huge question that people have about CBD. And of course, this definitely matters on what kind of product you're taking as well. Is it a full spectrum extract? So does it have like the majority of the compounds that plant is making all extracted into an oil or a liquid? Is it a broad spectrum? So it has pretty much everything but THC? Or is it an isolate? Is it only CBD? And the time that I tried CBD isolate in a high dose, I took it in 200 milligrams, and I was taking my first ever tolerance break. And I was like, this will be a fun experiment on myself. So I decided to take 200 milligrams of CBD before bed because I was having trouble sleeping. And higher doses of CBD are supposed to be kind of sedating or calming, whereas the lower doses of CBD are supposed to be kind of stimulating. So I tried the 200 milligrams of CBD, and it actually did help me get to sleep. Was that partly placebo? I don't know, but it did help me get to sleep. So I actually did that throughout my tolerance break, and that really helped. But on my day-to-day basis, I'm taking a pretty low dose of CBD in the morning with my tea or with my coffee. What do you guys do? Figured I should probably finish my thought here. So my lower dose that I take every single day is typically between 10 and 20 milligrams of CBD. And of course, that also has a variety of other active compounds present as well. But this corresponds to about 1 to 2 droppers full of our product.
I think that the dose thing is complicated because there are two different types of effects. Like what Andy was talking about with like almost like, yeah, like, and what you were talking about at the higher acute dose of like feeling something. And like, also, I wanted to quickly go back to what you were saying, Andy. CBD doesn't alter your perception, like your senses. It doesn't alter like your lucidity or anything of that nature. And I think that's one of the primary differences between THC and CBD, is that THC has that, you know, sensory alteration, sometimes like a time alteration too. You can feel like time is different. And CBD doesn't do that. And even at really, really high doses of CBD, it takes usually to feel something like what we're all describing as the acute, almost sedative feeling of CBD, it would take a pretty high dose. If you look at the dosing on the pharmaceutical CBD side, it's really, really high. Like it's, and that's with CBD isolate.
Like you're like encroaching on like a gram quantity. Like yeah. It's high.
And I mean, it also depends on whether or not you can develop tolerance. I've qualitatively seen all over a bunch of discussion boards, which I think is interesting, people seeming to develop like inverse tolerance to CBD. It's something that I think we haven't looked into enough yet. And so we don't know enough yet to talk about it. But
what do you mean by inverse tolerance to CBD?
That people will take like doses of it and then become more sensitive, like they're able to feel it at lower doses. And I'm thinking potentially that's not an inverse tolerance. It's like a depot effect, right? Like it becomes stored in your fat and then re-released. So then you need less of it.
That's like a common phenomenon with people that are addicted to certain drugs, like, you know, hard drugs, like they use a lot of something and then all of a sudden one day a very small amount of that thing could cause them to have like an overdose or something, or like a seizure. I don't know what that's called, but I've read about that before.
Yeah, and I don't think for CBD, there's like what people are mostly describing, I think, is that they could like get by with less. And right, I mean, like, and usually it's not an intense feeling. So like what you mentioned about it being placebo, it's hard to know.
Even if it's placebo, like if it's working, it's working.
Yeah, placebos are cool.
Yeah.
We should just wait for somebody to make that brand, placebos. One thing that I have to say about this is when we hear in the cannabis industry people talking about how to engage the canna curious and how to get new people into a store to try something and dip their toes in the water, maybe they haven't smoked or done any kind of cannabis products in 30 or 40 years, or maybe they never have ever and they're interested. The one thing I think is interesting is I have always been a cannabis person, never really had any interest in CBD or hemp really until it, you know, the Farm Bill passed, and then everybody's scratching their head asking questions. Well, hey, these plants are very similar. They almost are identical. They look pretty similar. Really, the only biggest difference is that the federal government says that cannabis with THC above a certain amount is cannabis or weed or, you know, marijuana or the thing that we all talk about all the time. And anything lesser than that amount of THC in the plant is hemp. But one thing I've found interesting as I've learned more about this stuff in the past few years is, number one, I use it every single day, CBD products of some kind every day, literally when I wake up in the middle of the day and at the end of the day, all day long. And there are benefits you get from these products from any company. I mean, if you find something you like, there are benefits you can see that will help you get through your day that if you otherwise would have needed to smoke, you could have accomplished with a non-psychoactive CBD product. So getting your job done, taking care of your kids, you know, long distance drives, whatever it might be, there's a way to get through your, you know, chronic pain and inflammation or whatever it is that's going on in your life with the, you know, the influence of a CBD or a hemp product. That's something I think is interesting because, again, I came into this thing as a cannabis person, and now I'm interested in the CBD. And what we hear about every day is the opposite. They're like, hey, let's get the canna curious involved in CBD. Let's tell our grandmothers and grandfathers to take CBD, all this stuff, as if it's not as important or interesting to the cannabis community. I bet we see that go the opposite way. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity that is left on the table right now in this space. A lot of new products that are going to come out, a lot of new things like ours, Profound Naturals, that, you know, could be really different and really potentially help you in some way where, you know, you don't just need to get high, even if you do enjoy that, which is totally okay. You know, maybe there's a time and a place for the feeling of wanting to actually, like, you know, get loose and, you know, feel funny and have a good time compared to just managing your daily stress and anxiety and pain relief.
I love the way you just described that, because I think a lot of people think of CBD almost like a scam because it's, you know, thought to work for everything. So if it works for everything, is it like, is it actually working for everything, or are people just saying that? And I think a lot of where that comes from is CBD's anti-inflammatory potential. It is a great anti-inflammatory compound. So chronic inflammation is related to almost every disease that kills like three-fifths of the population, from like heart disease to obesity to stroke. I mean, chronic inflammation is related to almost every other condition. So if we can take CBD daily and reduce that inflammation in our body, because we live a very inflammatory lifestyle, if we can help reduce that threshold of inflammation, can it help prevent these different diseases and conditions from establishing? Well, that's very hard to research because preventative medicine is very difficult to research. But we have a lot of evidence that this is where like the role of CBD could be, the most impactful role.
And I think also there's this thing, you know, in the community. I mean, like, I really got interested in CBD probably like during the third year of my PhD. And I was curious because for the first time, I was like going to apply, I guess not for the first time, but no, it was for the first time. I was going to treat cannabis as a medicine where I wanted to dose it every day in a very discreet amount. And when I actually was experimenting with different combinations of THC and CBD, it became like incredibly clear to me that I should always put CBD in any sort of cannabis that I take. And that's just me personally. Everyone has a different thing that works for them. And for me personally, I need to have CBD. And I actually mix hemp flower and different types of hemp flower with high THC flower to like obtain those ratios. In addition to like using CBD products, but it's not something that has to be used by itself. Like I definitely think it's something that people who use a lot of cannabis and who really genuinely enjoy cannabis too, it's not like I don't enjoy being high either. It's like you enjoy the right type of it in the right way, in the right time for the right experience. And CBD and hemp can help balance that out. It doesn't have to be used on its own. Like, I think that it's so underrated in the cannabis community as a tool that can be used to use less THC, because even though THC has a ton of benefits, and we talk about the benefits of THC a lot, I also think that THC helps CBD to increase the benefits when they're together. It's just an opinion. But there's like a synergy that occurs when you take them together that leads to a different effect. And there's been a good amount of like qualitative information out there on people who use less THC when you combine it with CBD, or even just like the idea of being more intentional about your use because of your awareness of like these different options that you have. I think it's a really important like reduction of harm, because while cannabis is amazing and it's a medicine and it helps so many of us, it's not true that there aren't you can't just say that there are no negative effects. And it's also like definitely true that developing high tolerance can have big problems to people who use cannabis every day or who need to use cannabis every day. And so being able to like add in CBD and hemp, I mean, hemp has so much else in it too besides CBD. I think that the hemp plant is really, really interesting, because in many ways we've been breeding these plants differently, specifically over the last 50-ish years, ever since like the Prohibition, I guess, so like, you know, 1970, like in that time frame, we've been breeding these plants very differently. They're totally different. And I think that the hemp plants now, there's huge potential. And I, you know, we see it with the unique strains that are coming out with like really, really unique combinations. And we're just in the beginning of understanding what these combinations of cannabinoids do and how these combos in different ratios can have different effects on the body and have different effects on different people's bodies who need different things, because we all need different things.
If I take it back to the effects thing real quick, like just experience-wise, when people are using cannabis of any kind, hemp or high THC cannabis, CBD or THC, I think a big part of this is, as you learn and you're listening to podcasts like this and from other groups, and there's a lot of good information out there, the more information you have, the better informed you are and the better decisions that you can make about what you're doing. So asking yourself why you want to use whatever it is you want to use, whether it's doing a dab or, you know, using a topical or, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Why are you doing it? Because something I think we lose track of in this industry, as we're all trying to, you know, end a stigma and push information forward. Yeah, it's pretty much harmless to most, you know, to most people, right? But the things to consider when we compare specifically a non-psychoactive thing to a psychoactive thing is, you know, do you really, if you didn't have to be, do you really want to be high all day long? I know, you know, it's great and there's a lot of benefits to it and it feels good, but feeling totally clear-headed and like present is also a great feeling. And, you know, being in no pain or no anxiety or no stress or whatever it is, again, like, why are you using it? that's why, right? So if you can find something that works for you, whether it's got a lot of THC or no THC, and if it's got a lot of CBD or very little CBD, or it's a full spectrum or whatever, just why are you using it? Be thoughtful about it, because, you know, I think there's a huge benefit to all of these products. But again, I do totally understand now, as being a cannabis person first and now enjoying CBD and hemp every day, that it is a huge benefit to my life to not always have to be, you know, sparking up a joint or something to feel any better.
Yeah. And, you know, Miyabi was talking about how it was their opinion that THC and CBD, like, it works better when there's a little bit of THC there. And there are research studies on this as well. There are people, actually, it's getting more and more popular for people to include a combination of THC and CBD, especially in animal models, to see how that compares to just CBD or just THC. So I'm specifically thinking of a paper, I can't remember who the author was, but they were looking at the anti-inflammatory effects of CBD, CBG, and then THC with CBD, and then just THC. And they found that THC had very little anti-inflammatory benefits, but in combination with CBD, it was better than just CBD alone. So combining the two together has not just effects for, like, making you feel high, making you not feel too high, balancing out the effect, but it can also increase the benefits of the other known uses for CBD and THC.
And that's interesting when we think back to, like, what the medicinal cannabis plant used to be, like, a long time ago, back when we had apothecaries, and then also even just before. We don't have a lot of analysis on what high THC used to mean, but we do know that it wasn't as high as what we currently have. And there's a lot of evidence. I can't remember the author of this paper either, but there's a paper from, like, I think it was either the late 70s or early 80s, where, like, definitively it states in the paper that, like, the most abundant cannabinoid in any cannabis, and it was cannabis indica in this study, though, but was CBD. And I was like, wow, it was just very striking, because that's not what we would assume based on, like, what the information that's only been out in the last, like, 20 years, maybe 25 years, right? Like, we just have way more information now and way more knowledge about it. But what you're saying about THC and CBD and how it comes together, and how, like, there's new studies showing that there's, like, this synergy specifically for anti-inflammation. It's like, then it's like, we have to imagine, like, what does that mean for the hundreds and hundreds of other things that are in the plant? Like, what does that mean for really, really small changes that can then go on to have these really, really large changes in the effects and the benefits? And maybe not for everyone, but maybe for one person with one mechanism. But it's probably not just that one person. It's probably, like, for every person that has a certain symptom or a problem, there's definitely a number of ways to cause that. But we probably have some things in common with other people, and we could find out what combinations work for us, which would be so cool.
Okay, I had an analogy going in my head while you were saying that. If you think about this for a person that's using cannabis on a regular basis, like a well-balanced diet, right? You don't want to eat just one food, even though it's a healthy food, maybe, right? Oh, I like to eat a lot of broccoli. Well, you need other stuff, right? You need to have a well-balanced diet. When I think about people that have, you know, make a trip to the gym, you don't just do one muscle group every day. And if you do, you try to do different exercises to attack that muscle group. But it's highly unlikely and unreasonable to go to the gym on a regular basis and only do the exact same things over and over again. You want to spread it out. You want to do legs. You want to do this and that, right? So to that point, I look at using, because there's a time and a place for all this, using just high THC or just CBD or whatever, you know, if we're just drawing this line in the sand, could be for a real particular reason, right? So yeah, you need high THC for this day that was super stressful, or for, you know, your long weekend that took the life out of you or whatever, right? But on a regular basis, you want to mix it up a little bit. You got to have a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and everything in moderation, and a well-balanced cannabinoid diet.
Oh my gosh. I have that analogy is so good, because it also can be extrapolated to like using free weights to train, yeah, versus using like machines to train, or like basically isolation. Yep. Like people who like bodybuild and everything, like isolating muscle groups is really important to be able to, like, you know, get the biggest biceps or like make sure that you're trapped, you know. But actually, in terms of like your joint health and overall everything, like using free weights and using like lower weights over higher repetitions can be better in general on like your ligaments and like your tendons and like having stretching and everything. Like our bodies are really complicated, and there's this way that you could like introduce stability by having all of these tiny, tiny little muscles working, like in the muscles in your back. There are all the main muscles that we have, and then there are these minuscule muscles that are holding everything together. And I think that's a really cool analogy for cannabinoids, and maybe not just cannabinoids, but all the other bioactive molecules that we take in that we don't fully understand this yet either. I mean, this is something that we are like hopefully scratching the surface on and will continue to discover. But I mean, the human body is so complicated, and we have been pharmaceutically targeting it in a very specific way, you know, over the last like maybe a couple hundred years, but really it only gained steam in the last like 100 years. And we've been really going hard on like that this is the way, and it's beneficial for a ton of reasons, but we also have completely ignored the opposite way of going about treating the body, which is the way that we've been treating the body for thousands of years with traditional medicines, which is to, instead of using one thing, use a number of things that are all created by nature, some of them potentially aggravating, right? Some of them beneficial, and then always in combination. And how does that challenge your body to respond in that like really complicated combination? And I think that cannabis is like a perfect example of how we can see that there is like this vast benefit over like huge amounts of things, like CBD and hemp especially, how you're saying like everyone seems to think it's going to cure everything. And it's like, well, it does work for like a giant number of mechanisms. And possibly it's not just the CBD. I mean, it's possible that it is this like greater amount of diversity depending on what people are using. Because from my experience, like I definitely enjoy mixing. I enjoy mixing all like of the different cannabinoids in. And we've been all experimenting a little bit more with CBT more recently. And I've been reading some pretty interesting discussion boards on CBT. I mean, there are people like, there are people experimenting on themselves just like us, and it's being reported out there, and it's, I mean, it's real. It's not something that is all placebo or that can be blocked up, like chalked up to all placebo, because I think there's too many of us.
You know, and when we're talking about diversifying the compounds that we put in our body, using these diverse extracts that have all these different compounds, including CBD, but also the other compounds that are active in the plant, you should also think about diversifying the route of administration that you're using for your CBD products as well. So, you know, we talk about tinctures. Tinctures you can take orally, you can put it in a drink, you can put it in food. You can use topicals. You can directly apply those active compounds directly to where you're feeling inflammation or pain. You can use suppositories, you can smoke hemp. There's so many different ways. And if you're using them in combination, maybe one route isn't working very well for you. Before you give up on that medicine, definitely try different brands, try different extract types, try different modes of administration, try different doses. It's not as simple as we can say, okay, this dose of this product is going to work for everyone. That is just not the case. We're all too different, and we're all using these products for different reasons. But in general, you know, starting with a lower dose, seeing how that reacts with your body. Do you feel anything? Do you not feel anything? But also, I find that I take a lot of natural products. And for me to understand if a product's working for me, I take it for at least 2 weeks every single day. And then I stop taking it. And I see if I feel anything when I stop taking a product every day. And if I feel different, then I know that product was working in some way, even if I can't pinpoint exactly how it was helping me. I can tell when I'm not using it how I feel different.
That's such a good point about a couple weeks, because some of the mechanisms take that long in the body to change. Like if anyone's ever done the ketogenic diet, there's something called the keto flu, which like lasts for a few weeks, because like that's how long, and you feel really awful actually. But it's like this changeover, and it's something that takes that long to take an effect. And
we were at the event at Seagrass in Salem, remember? And somebody asked a question about CBD, and we referred to it as like training your body. They were asking like, should I take this every day? And we're like, you know, think of it as training your body. You're introducing this active compound into your brain, into your body, and it's going to take a while, like most medications do too, for your body to find a new normal, to find that new homeostasis. And if you give it a couple weeks, it may be, you know, don't just give it a day and go, wow, that didn't work, and then throw it away. It does not take that short of time. We really need to like train our brain, find a new balance, and then see how that makes us feel. Is it better? Is it worse? Nothing.
Nailed it. That's same, no different from, you know, back to that old analogy. Like, you don't just go to the gym and think that you're going to be, like, strong and fit and buff and in great shape after just going for a couple of days. You got to commit to it for at least 2 weeks to see any differences at all, especially in your stamina, like, you know, cardio-wise or whatever. You just, you're beat at the beginning, and then 2 weeks later, you're like, wow, I can run twice as far as I could when I first started 2 weeks ago. It's like a substantial, you know, change. And then, of course, the concept of doing something for a couple of weeks and then seeing how it changes is a great way to look at it, especially with things that are non-psychoactive, right? Because you don't immediately feel or see any major changes. But it's kind of like an elimination diet, right? You're using something, and then when you stop using it, you find out if you're, you know, in an elimination diet, you know, if you're allergic to it or if it's upsetting you in some way. But this is the opposite. Use something for a few weeks at least to find out how it's helping you. I think that's more than reasonable.
And specifically for CBD, for like the mental health benefits, there's like a direct correlation here to the serotonin system. If this is like 100% true, which it's still under investigation and it's still early, but CBD activates the serotonin 5-HT1A receptor that has been associated with a bunch of pharmaceuticals that are beneficial for mental health in general. All the older school, like antidepressants, some antipsychotics, anti-anxiety medications. Like the 5-HT1A receptor has been targeted for a huge number of things, and CBD does work upon that receptor. But similar to some of these other medications, like most of the pharmaceutical medications for mental health, it is a staple that you take them along the prescribed route that you were meant to take them over a period of time to evaluate whether or not it's working. And that's something that's potentially being caused by changes in like receptor levels and things that take time, that you have to train. There are all these ways that our brain responds. Our brain's always, I think I'm always saying that our brain is always changing from what it is right now to what it's gonna be tomorrow. And it's deciding on how to make those changes. Our brains are always changing. We're gonna be changing for the rest of our lives. And our brain is deciding how to make those changes based on the environment that it's in. So by taking a CBD product, by taking a cannabis product, THC product, you're changing the environment that your brain is in, and you're directing it to go in a certain way. And that's another reason why I think it's good to, you know, not develop tolerance and not be seesawing between taking tolerance breaks and not taking tolerance breaks, and instead like just diversifying and finding like a dose schedule that works if you need to use cannabis products every day to help you function.
Yeah, so I mean, this is kind of towards the end of this extra credit episode, but I think what we're kind of all saying is CBD is very important. It's valid. The science is there, and it does not need to be used in isolation. You can always combine with other active compounds within that plant, or you can pre-dose yourself with CBD and then in 30 minutes go smoke a high THC joint and still get the benefits of having the CBD in your body as well as the THC. But it does take a little bit of experimentation on yourself. It is a very safe molecule, even at high doses, but you don't need to use high doses. You can use low doses of CBD every single day and use it as a preventative medicine just to reduce inflammation, if nothing else.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us, and thank you so much to everyone who has supported our team.
As a reminder, this podcast is all about education, and everything we cover is our own opinions and our own personal experiences on the science behind how this amazing plant can be helping people, us included.
Another reminder is our team makes CBD products, and we're a little biased, but we think they're the best out there. So you should definitely try them if you're interested in trying a new type of CBD extract. Our next episode is going to look into plant genetics. We're going to dive into the DNA of cannabis with Dr. Anna Schwab.
Profound Naturals hemp smoke extracts contain unique active compounds selectively captured from the smoke. Each of our products is handcrafted in small batches and made with love and intention. Try our topicals and tincture and see why we're different at www.profoundnaturals.com. Every purchase goes directly to helping us continue to share cannabis science, education, and destigmatization. Again, that's www.profoundnaturals.com.